Are we live?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'll play it. Underwood. Thin ice! To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure.
There it is. Boom! Yes!
Great start. Atlanta Basketball Podcast episode. What is it? 186? Yeah.
Yes.
186, December 31st, 2023. The last one of the calendar year.
Yeah, we snuck it in as close as we could. Also, everybody out there, it is Ethan's birthday. Wish him a happy birthday in the chat. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube because it's his birthday.
Definitely.
And go ahead and click that thumbs up. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen our subscriber number. 20, 1, 2, 3, 4. 24. Yeah.
Nice.
423 subscribers right now.
We're getting there
on YouTube. Yeah, I think we're like plus like 70 probably since we really started trying to add
pushing.
Yeah, since we started to beg for subscribers, which is something that that we've done. I also started to
done that. Yes,
I also started to beg for people to give us a better rating on Apple Podcasts.
How'd that work out?
I don't think it did, honestly.
Like 0 stars.
I mean, I don't think we got any ratings from that tweet. 24 ratings, 3.9, under 5. I'd like to be over 4, so if people could go over to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. If you'd like us, go ahead. Demonte Williams, him or his burner, the reason that we're dead. But either way, what can you do? The Illini coming off of a victory. They beat FDU, and they got it done. You know, I think that probably after they were up, 29-22 at the under 4, and then they just took off because Harmon made a billion threes. Like, it wasn't a close game after that.
Did Harmon score 14 straight himself? I know he had...
I wasn't even there for half of it.
Three threes in a row, a bucket at the basket, and then another one maybe. If I remember, yeah, you were kind of all over the place during the watch party. I don't know how much of the game you actually watched.
What you get? So, well, you know, you got to run the numbers. Plus, let's think about the fact that this wasn't a wasn't a good game. I mean, come on. This game even count? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois took care of business after everything that was going on. They came out, they dropped 100 on FDU. People still found a way to complain about him and how, you know, maybe we need a different point guard and such. So with that, let's go into our player of the game.
Yeah, and I appreciate everybody in the comments.
Yeah, everybody with the happy birthdays.
Yeah, thank you.
Steve, Schlagboy, Bootzilla, that's a name I haven't seen before. Illini Nation, thanks everybody. Lazy Forrest Gump. Steve said Harmon's shot looked really good. Yeah, Harmon, if we can get that Harmon consistently, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Harmon's first shift of the game was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But he rebounded. I mean, you wanted him out of the game. You wanted DGL in over him, so.
I did.
I did pick up on that. I also will say. I'm
not saying that, but sure.
I mean, that definitely happened. Somebody run that. Somebody figure that out.
Yeah,
that absolutely happened. That. I guess we don't have any quotes from this game. I think there was some good Brad stuff, though, if you want to go to, like, Piper's feed and find them or something. But
yeah, so Ethan did all the prep work on this. I've been busy, and I haven't been able to do anything. So shout out to Ethan. Even on his birthday, he's doing all the work. So, yeah, this is going to be a little bit different than we don't have any Brad Underwood quotes for today. So I apologize for that.
Shame.
That's my fault.
I mean, you could always go to somebody's Twitter feed if you found anything interesting, but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Player of the game.
Oh, yeah, player of the game. I went with Ty Rogers, Illinois's, you know, point guard. I think he turned it over twice is all against pretty consistent press. He had 10 points, 15 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds. He had a steal. He's had 11 offensive rebounds over the last 2 games, which is really nice. You're not going to get a lot of guards that are pulling down 15 boards a game. Put up 10 points. I think 3 guys had double doubles in this game. So, 3 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. His free throws have consistently gotten better. And the couple times where he did turn it over against the press, he picked up his dribble. So if we can just get him to stop doing that, he's looking like a solid point guard to me. 5 assists. Did I say that? He had 5 assists, guys.
Yeah, I think Brad's quote in the post game was, find another point guard who can do that, which is, I mean, how much of a point guard is he, I would say. I guess if you want to say that, I guess he is the point guard and when he starts, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Damask kind of took over the ball handling up the court for some of it. So that happened.
Rogers took that 5'8" guard to school a couple times offensively. Literally took him to school like 3rd or 4th grade.
Yeah,
I wanted to go with Ty Rogers, but I figured I'd switch it up and go with Coleman Hawkins again. I think
I know that you were gonna pick Ty Rogers. I was kind of,
well, I feel like I probably said that on the watch party. That's all right, you can run that clip as well.
I don't even remember you being at the watch party.
So. You're really losing it, obviously. I think I've picked Coleman Hawkins like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
in the last 2 weeks. So
I almost picked Gary A again, but I thought people would get mad at me.
We've been 4 Gary A's in a row. Yeah, that's that interesting. I've definitely picked Coleman for the Tennessee game, and I might have picked him for another, but I'm going to go with him for this one as well. 29 minutes, 5 of 8 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 2 steals, 0 turnovers. Really good game, I thought, from him. He had the highest offensive rating on the team, according to KenPom, and this might have been the highest offensive rating he's ever had in his career. It's got to be, because 205 was his offensive rating on KenPom. I think his highest before that, based on what I'm looking at here, is 170, which was against Eastern Illinois when he also went 5 for 8 from 3 on November 7th, 2022, so last season. But just a perfect game for him, like 5 for 8, didn't take any shots inside the 3-point line, but he went 5 for 8. Only had 2 assists, which is like not that far off of the norm for him this year. He had, you know, 3 against Missouri, 1 against Colgate, season high is 5 against Oakland, but it didn't have any turnovers. It's the first game of the season that he hasn't had any turnovers. And recently he hasn't been turning the ball over.
I think it's back-to-back games. Oh, yeah.
He had one against Missouri, 4 against Colgate, but then Tennessee, FAU, Rutgers, each.
Yeah.
So he has
Damask kind of saved him from turning the ball over once in this game.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I guess, you know.
Shockingly enough, the only 3 that Damask made. So Damask has to start shooting 3s better or stop shooting them, I guess. So, but yeah, Coleman, great game. If we can get Coleman to go 5 of 8 every night, I mean, that's not going to happen, but I would take, you know, 4 of 8, 3 of 7, something like that.
Imagine throwing a back shoulder fade on 4th and 5, like 20 yards. So stupid. Anyway. Yeah. The Coleman. No, they're fine. Who cares about them? I wasn't even talking about them. A bunch of losers. Talking about the Steelers. Anyway. Coleman has a total of 8 turnovers in the last 6 games. So,
and 4 in 1 game.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably good. And I mean, he's not getting really a ton of assists in these games. I think maybe his best overall performance with that in terms of assist to turnover ratio, outside of 2-0, it would probably be the Tennessee game. He had 4 assists, 1 turnover, but I also think they're not really putting Coleman in a ton of spots to turn the ball over. I think with how much you see Damask handling the ball or how much you see Rogers handling it, like there's not a lot of opportunity unless Coleman tries to make a really fancy pass that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's been, I would say 4 out of the 6 games he's played in since the knee injury where he missed 3, I think he's been really good. He's making 3s. He's got a total of 10 threes in the last 3 games. And if you go to the last 6 games since the injury, he's at 14 threes in the last 6 games. 0-2 against Rutgers, 1-5 against FAU, 3-10 against Tennessee, which, you know, love it, but 2-6 against Colgate, 3-5 against Mizzou, and 5-8 against FDU. So, and he only had 1-3 in three games before the injury. Figuring it out. Started 1-7. He's now sneaky shooting 35% from three. He was 28% last season, 29% the year before, and 3-13 his freshman year, 23%. But you need him to step up and make shots given the absence of Shannon on this team.
Yeah. Joe says it was nice, everyone, to get some playing time. Dane was the MVP for him. Steve says DGL is so lost on defense. I feel sorry for him out there. Can't wait until he figures it out. Yeah, DGL, his stat line looks a lot better than what I saw him do, but we'll get to that. Damask, three-point shooting is awful, kind of baffling. What did you say Damask was from three last year?
Last year?
35-ish.
Yeah, let me see. 35, and then 34 the year before that.
Yeah.
So 19 this year.
I was going to say he's like 12 this year. So, David said, so anything else to talk about this week? If you guys want to know our thoughts about everything that happened.
Really, his thoughts, not mine. I didn't really say anything.
Yeah, Ethan didn't say much. I kind of said stuff. I probably more than I wanted to. But you can go back and watch the watch party. From this point forward, until there's any other news, I think we're just going to, you know, talk about the team and what's going on and act like Shannon is not playing.
I think it's the right thing for us to do is kind of focus on the team and the games moving forward. And I think that's probably what the University of Illinois would want us to do, even though they treat us with zero respect. We're going to treat them with respect here and just think about the team. Think about what Brad's thinking about right now.
Yeah. If that's what you guys are here for, until there is stuff that actually comes out that, you know, says one way or the other what's going on, we won't be talking about it.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus other players in the roster that are going to be playing in these games. And Big Ten play is about to start. And that's an important part of the stretch coming up. These first three games in the Big Ten especially will be tough. And I would say actually the first four, really the first five, you could make every game into being tough one way or another, except for the Rutgers game at home. That should be a blowout on January 21st. But other than that, I could talk any Big Ten game into being tough, despite the fact that some of these teams really aren't good. Like Penn State's terrible, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they scored 104 points last game without their best player, and they scored 56 in the second half, and they scored let's do some quick math here. What's 25 plus 56? 76, 80. Is that 81?
Sounds right.
They scored 81 points in the final 30 minutes of the game.
It's pretty good.
So, and FDU did score 43 in the second half, but we'll get to why they got over 70. Such a joke.
Yeah. Steve says Damask shooting will come around. Yeah, we gotta hope that Damask can start shooting the ball better. I guess in the only three he made was the one fading out of bounds. He was 2-7, 1-6 from three. He was 6-7 from the free throw line. So at least you're getting that from him. 11 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 4 turnovers, 2 blocks, and a steal. Filled up the stat sheet.
Three double doubles in this game for the Illini.
Yeah.
And could have been 4 if Danger would have maybe played a little bit more. I'm very surprised to see Danger only played 16 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you need? 4 more rebounds to?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with Damask is like I know you kind of said it a couple times. I'm not ready to have him stop shooting threes.
Right.
I think we have to give it time, and they need it more than ever now. So just keep chucking them. This is also a game. This is also a game where Goody didn't make one. So
yeah, Scheidweiner said he needs Goody taking 12 threes a game. Yeah, Goody and Damask combined for 1-10 is not good. And Illinois still put up 104 points.
Goody made one after a whistle, though. That's true.
That probably would have got him going if that counted. So,
by the way, Damask was a pretty streaky shooter in spots last season. He started the season with a game last year against Oklahoma State where he went 4-8 from three. and then followed it up with an 0 for 7 against Southern Indiana. So I think it's going to be games where he goes off and shoots them well. There's going to be games where he misses them, like 0 for 5 against Indiana State last year. He had a three-game stretch in early January last season where he was 0 for 13 in three games, but then went 3 for 6 in the next game, and then three games later goes 6 for 12. So, like, I think that's what he is. I mean, his best two-game stretch down the stretch for Southern last year was a 3 for 5 against Bradley and a 6 for 9 against Northern Iowa in back-to-back games. But, I mean, you look at him this season, hasn't been really good at all. I would say 2 for 6 against FAU in a game where he scored 33 and then 3 for 7 against Marquette. Other than that, it's been pretty bad. And it hasn't been – I mean, the last four games have been 2 for – let's see. This is very difficult math, 16, 20. 2 for 22.
The thing is, like, we're fine. Like, he doesn't need to make threes to score, though. So
no, I think the best version of Damask is just posting them up.
Yeah. Steve said, by the way, I said they would score 103. Well, you were wrong. They scored 104. Bootzilla says Damask will be back. He's not worried. Jeff says, I think we'll be a much more balanced team now. I think they're going to have to be. I mean,
I think in some ways, yes, but there's no world where we can pretend that this team is better without Shannon, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And Bra says, Northwestern will be a test, and Maryland better not sneak up on us.
I don't see this team, no matter who's playing, losing at home to Maryland this year.
Yeah. Gary A., 5 of 9 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. 3 of 5 from the free throw line, 14 points, 11 rebounds for him, 3 turnovers. So the guys that turn the ball over, I mean, I guess you don't expect them to turn it over because the high numbers were, I mean, Damask, I guess I understand because he's really kind of forced in that point guard spot a little bit more than he probably needs to be. But
Gary had a 109 offensive rating on for players that play. For players that played, you know, double-digit minutes in this game, according to KenPom, second worst on the team was 109 offensive rating. Can you name the player with the worst offensive rating on the Illini in this game?
In this game?
Yeah.
Hansberry?
Didn't play enough minutes.
How many minutes they got to play?
It's DGL, Danger, Harmon, and then the starters. All registered in offensive rating.
I'm going to go DGL, but his numbers don't look that bad here.
No, he had a pretty good one, actually. I think Mask? He was fourth. Nope.
Or Goody?
Goody. Okay. Goody, 50, 55. Easily his worst game of the year, just on numbers.
Yeah, 26 minutes, 1 of 6, 0 for 4 from 3, like we said. 2 points, 3 rebounds, and a turnover.
Jeff Rana, I know you didn't say better. I know you. I wasn't really referring to you.
Yeah.
I've just seen some people. I think – I don't know if they'll be overall better balanced. I guess in terms of numbers, yes. But my point is that some people will think that balance translates to better, and I don't think it does in this case. But I do see some people saying that Illinois still has the second best lineup in the Big Ten without Shannon, which I think you need to look at it and be like, that's a little much. I mean, top five, possibly, yes. But like Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State, those teams still exist. So, you know, I know we said we were going to talk about Shannon. I've only brought him up about four times, but
yeah, but
it's from a basketball perspective.
Yeah, it's understandable. The bench, Harmon, kind of a shame that neither of us gave him player of the game because it's definitely
there was a lot of candidates.
Definitely the best game he's had all year. 19 minutes, 6 of 10 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 18 points, a rebound, 2 assists. He had 2 turnovers and a steal. So if we can get Harmon to step up like this and make these plays and score the basket ball, I don't know. My brain is fried. Yeah.
What else would he be scoring?
Well, I don't think we need to go there. All right.
Okay.
Danger.
Didn't know if you're talking about like football or something. Let me say this about Harmon. I wish Harmon was better defensively. Maybe he will be down the stretch, but you were yelling at him to get off the team essentially after his first stint in the game. And then he comes back and then made everything. I mean, go back and watch the tape.
Send me the clip.
Somebody find that. It was like whenever Harmon first came in, you were yelling at him to get off the team, essentially.
How would you know? You were upstairs.
I heard this. I was there.
Who knows? Wade said, I feel like we can be a tournament team and make the second weekend depending on the matchup.
That's positivity. I like it. You got to remember this team is old, and there's still some very good basketball players in this team. And we're not talking about a world-beating Big Ten that you have to go through this year. It's still tougher. It's still tough, but like there's nothing.
Yeah, they can still be a top five Big Ten team.
This team should be as hungry as ever right now, I would say. There should be guys that want to step up, that want to play more. Harmon's a good example of that. Danger's a good example of that. And I'm kind of surprised that neither of us gave Danger a pop for player of the game, given his I've done that before. Where you just, you know, you exit stage. But
button I hit.
Perfect transition into Danger. I'm surprised neither of us gave him a player of the game. I feel like I probably should have, especially with how much I criticized
him. And Danger came in and when Illinois' offense was not looking great to start the game and got him kind of rolling. So 16 minutes, 9 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from the line, 19 points, 6 rebounds. He also had 5 offensive rebounds, an assist, the kick pass to Coleman in the corner, I believe. What that was. So yeah, great game from Dane. And I am shocked that he only played 16 minutes. That kind of surprised me at this point.
Yeah, I mean your internet's cutting out pretty good, but
is it? Sorry. It's probably because I left and came back.
Danger, 90% from the field. You gotta take it. 9 of 10, dominated. I mean, this is a game where he does dominate. I mean, especially against an undersized team like this.
Game where he should dominate.
He was my player to watch, so nailed that one. Nice try, everybody. Probably should have made him player of the game, but I felt like Coleman deserved something given the fact that he had 0 turnovers and made 5 threes. But good game for Dane. Not a surprise. And his one assist was on a Hawkins 3, so it's good.
Yeah, kick to the corner. I just said that.
Well, it was cut out. Yeah. Hear me. Nobody
can hear me. Am I better now?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Okay, well, apparently you don't just start talking when you get kicked out and brought back in. DGL, 14 minutes, 4 of 7 from the field. I'm very surprised by that. 1 of 2 from 3, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 turnover. He had 4 fouls. He tried to go to the basket a lot, got blocked a lot. But the fadeaway jumper was pretty. That's really the only shot I remember him making, so...
Yeah, I remember the 3.
He must have had some garbage time late, huh?
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, it just – I don't think the game has slowed down for him yet. Yeah. And I think that's part of why he's looked good and bad in spots. 4 fouls in 14 minutes is interesting. I think you said it, though, during the watch party. He gets some weird bad calls on him every game.
Yeah.
He's got a – I feel like he has a bunch of fouls for how much he's played this year.
Yeah, he seems to seems like other teams get to hand check the crap out of Illinois, and when DGL puts one finger on somebody, he gets a hand check.
DGL has 11 fouls this season, and he has a game that he didn't play at all, and then the last 4 games going into this one, he played fewer than 5 minutes.
Do you think
but a lot of those fouls were early? I mean, he had 1 foul in 1 minute against Tennessee.
I know a lot of people were talking with Shannon out. That DGL is going to need to step up and get more minutes and basically become an All-American. Do you think that he has 14 minutes in a Big Ten game anytime this year?
When they beat Penn State by 50? Yeah, maybe. Okay.
All right. What do you think? What do you think? Like 8 minutes? 8 minute guy right now?
Yeah.
Just because you're going to need another body to.
I think it's going to depend on. I think it's also going to depend on what you're getting from Harmon. In that game.
That's true, yeah.
Like, if Harmon's making shots, you got to keep him in and use him as your go-to guard off the bench.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Jeff says, I think Brad will get guys moved around more. Now look where Harmon was shooting at last game. I don't know what that means, but. I think I talked about it during the watch party. They got to start running some more screenplays for Goody to get open. Like, I feel like Goody's forcing some shots. Steve says, I think this is a great team. They won't skip a beat without Shannon, just like they did without Coleman. Wade says, I feel like where we will miss Shannon the most is late shot clock, late game when we need a bucket. I feel like where we're going to miss him in the
most. Internet is struggling on your end.
It is. I don't even have any.
Yeah. I mean, it's cutting hard.
Oh.
It's like cutting and then like speeding up what you're saying because it's behind.
Should I leave again? What should I do?
I don't know. It's up to you. I mean, I could carry for a minute if you need to.
All right. Well, I'll try to reset my stuff.
People comment so I can do this.
I'll be back.
Yeah. We don't want the podcast listeners to have troubles when listening to this. We want to try to keep this as good as possible, audio-wise, video-wise, everything about it. But anyway, yeah, DGL, solid game. I mean, 4-for-7. 4-for-7, something you take. It didn't feel like a 4-for-7 game from him, I would say. But he went 4-for-7. So what can we do? It's fine. Wow. It wasn't great on my end. Maybe if he hops back in, I don't know. Let me, yeah. Hold on. Hansberry, 7 minutes. All right. So maybe it's on my end. It's my fault. I kicked him out. All right. I messed up. That's on me. I almost said the F word there, but I won't. Hansberry, 7 minutes, 1-of-3 from the field, 1-of-2 from three, made a three. That's the second three of the season, 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 block. Hansberry surprised that he only had 1 rebound in this game, given that he did play 7 minutes. Usually expect a couple more, but Illinois was kind of swarming the glass against FDU anyway because of the size advantage and the opportunity there to get a lot of rebounds, which they did. We'll get to that number there. Soon enough. But overall, Hansberry, he's got 2 threes this year. He made one in the Eastern game on November 6th, and he made one against FDU. So 2 3-balls, 2-of-5 from three on the season, 2-of-6 from three on the season, excuse me, 33%. I think you got to take that any day of the week, right? I mean, you have to. Let's see. If he gets confidence, he could be dangerous, DGL. Yeah, I mean, I think there's part of his game where confidence might interrupt his offensive play numbers-wise. I think there's part of that that could happen. I mean, my mustache looks horrible right now. Anyway, Jeffrey wants to know how we match up in size in Northwestern. I will get to that, I think, favorably in some spots. They do have a 7-footer, but I'm not too concerned about Illinois' ability to guard a 7-footer who doesn't score any points, which is what they have. But obviously you got to worry about rebounding and hopefully with the way this team attacks the glass more than most Illinois teams we've seen in recent years. I think that was one thing that I really, really noticed when they took their trip overseas in the summer was that this team has a lot of quality rebounders. You look at the way Rogers crashes. You look at the way Guerrier crashes. Hansberry's got a really good rebounding instincts. Goody can rebound. I mean, Dane Danger had 5 offensive rebounds in this game, which a lot of those are kind of being handed to him given the size disadvantage that FDU had to deal with in this game. DGL had a rebound. 4 rebounds, excuse me. 4 rebounds. Steve says DGL is lost on defense. He was, yeah. The defensive part of the game is not there for him. There's some plays that he can make with his ability, you know, athletically. Maybe getting some blocks here and there. But other than that, yeah, defensively he's not there. And I don't think that's a surprise. I don't think anybody expected him to be there defensively by now. He's not a tire sincere type in that regard. Rebound will go up now since it won't be as much iso ball. Yeah, I think that's fair. We'll have to see how they do against other opponents. I don't think you can really judge a ton of it from this FDU game just because they have such a disadvantage in size and they're a really, really bad rebounding team by the numbers. Offensive rebound percentage, offensively FDU's 285th, and defensively they allow a lot of them. They're 339th. So this game was lined up for Illinois to have 22 offensive rebounds, and they did. Max Williams, I want to mention, played 2 minutes in this game, went 0 for 1. He had the worst drive of all time that led to FDU getting to over 70 points. That was a disaster. Not good there from him. Can't have it, dare I say, unacceptable is what I would say. That was really, really bad from Max Williams, but nothing we could do about it. Nothing we could do. Okay. I don't know why my beard looks like that or my mustache. It looks so bad, guys. Makes me look like I have one tooth in the front. Anyway, whatever. Who cares? I don't know if anybody cares. Okay. This beard will be gone by the time we do another episode. Good news in the media day video. You see Moretti taking some shots at Budo. I did see that Moretti getting some shots up. No boot. We'll see if he ever plays again, since he is the savior of the program, Nico Moretti. But yeah, like I said, Max Williams, the worst drive of all time, leading FDU to getting over 70. I think it was fine on everybody's end, but mine.
Yeah. So, and then after I shut everything down and restarted, I spilled my water all over my desk. So it's just a big, big, you know, shit show. Let's just say that. Okay. Here we go. We're back.
Yeah, we'll get to the notes and quotes thing without the quotes. Illini, 1.42 points per possession. Yep. Highest of the season. Their second was the FAU game at 1.31. They dominated the glass 54-27, 22 offensive boards, and they had 21 assists on 36 field goals. Solid. Take that every day.
Yeah, third game with 50 rebounds.
I mean, one of the first things I said when we watched them play, where did they go in the summer? What country was that? I already forgot. Sure, yeah. When we watched that one game that we all watched, I remember distinctly saying something about rebounding.
Yeah.
And I think this team is as good as any Illinois team has been under Brad Underwood on the glass. That's really, I think, mainly because of Ty Rogers and Quincy Guerrier. And there's other guys that chip in here and there, like DGL having 4 rebounds in this game, or Hansberry rebounding. We've seen his ability. So it's good. And imagine how good they could be next year, even with Guerrier gone. You know, Merez Johnson can board. Hansberry year 2. Rogers, maybe get a transfer in here that can rebound or something. But it's good. It's good. All right. Yeah.
Took care of business.
Thoughts on Nico Moretti shooting without a boot?
Good. I mean, I still don't think Nico's going to come in and play 20 minutes a game, but I could be wrong. I hope that he can come in and help the team for sure. Do you think makes a difference? How many minutes do you think he would have played against FDU? DGL minutes?
Yeah, 12.
Yeah.
How many did he play in that one game where everybody's like, oh, my God, here we go.
7.
Okay, he played 13 against Southern, 13 against Valpo, 12 against Eastern. So he was trending in the direction of playing more.
Yeah, what were the?
I mean, he looked really good before he got hurt against Southern.
Again, Southern, Valpo.
Valpo and Eastern.
Eastern, okay.
Three of the 5 worst teams they played this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, before he got hurt, another thing Shannon messed up right there. He had 4 points, 6 assists, or 6, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 2 turnovers, but still solid. He can play, obviously. It's just
Brad likes how he pushes the ball. And that, I think that's probably, again, that's where Illinois failed the most. I mean, against the press, that kind of thing. Nico still turned the ball over, right? We can't act like he didn't turn the ball over. So, Matt says he just looks comfortable with the ball, especially compared to others. Not that he will be a star. Ethan's gone now. I don't know what's going on. We are in trouble, folks.
It's lagging. You're lagging on my end, but apparently not on everybody else's end. it's making all delay. Like I don't even know when to talk.
Now you're lagging for me. So the great thing about live shows is that.
Yeah. Thanks for making us do this, everybody.
Can all just go downhill in an instant.
Here's what I want to say about Moretti. If you think DGL's defense is bad, Moretti's probably worse. Yeah. So, but he does do good things with the basketball. So,
yeah.
Stuff.
The good news about us not being able to hear each other is that you're going to talk for a majority of this next part, and I'm just going to sit here and listen. So,
boom. All right. Here we go. Northwestern, Illinois, first Big Ten game of the Big Ten stretch, I would say. I mean, they did play Rutgers in early December, but this is what starts it all. This is Big Ten games the rest of the way until the Big Ten tournament and then into the NIT for the Illini. They're ranked 11th in the country right now. I assume they're going to be in a similar spot to that next week. I don't know. When's this game? Tuesday? Yeah. Tuesday, 8 o'clock.
We had to do this today.
Yeah, Big Ten Network. Illinois is ranked 11th right now, 10-2, 1-0 in the Big Ten. Northwestern, 10-2, 1-0 in the Big Ten. The Wildcats bring back Boo Booey after last season. Let me look over to the bracket. I know they beat Boise State in the first round, then lost to UCLA in the second. They were a 7 seed last year, beat Boise State, lost to UCLA in round two. They were in the same region as Illinois, the West region, that featured a UConn-Gonzaga Elite Eight game. So the national champion came out of our region. Shocking. Two best teams in America, Illinois and Northwestern. They bring back Boo Booey, though. He had a great year last year. They're not conference schedule, though, and their slate, the performance has been bizarre, I would say. They had a win over Dayton, who's a pretty, you know, top 40. You picked them to win the A-10 team.
Yeah.
And a bunch of below average to far below average teams. And then they lost to Mississippi State, who's like, fine. I mean, Mississippi State did lose to Southern, by the way. But Mississippi State's good defensively and a solid team. But then Northwestern also lost to Chicago State. So that's bad, like really bad.
And they only put up 56 points against DePaul. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think this team is very good, but also they beat Purdue. Like, I don't know. Yeah. They beat Purdue for the second straight season in Evanston. I almost think you could chalk that up to, yeah, Purdue can't win there for some reason.
Yeah. Right now. It is strange.
The word that I would use to describe Northwestern's non-conference schedule is spineless. Like, they didn't play really anybody. They played Binghamton, Dayton, Western Michigan, Rhode Island, Mississippi State lost, Northern Illinois, Detroit, who is maybe the worst team in the country. They're 0-15. Chicago State, that's an actual number, by the way. Detroit Mercy, 0-15. The Detroit Pistons are 3-29. Anyway, DePaul, shout out to the Detroit Pistons winning last night. 28-game losing streak, finally get it done. A team that started 2-1, now 3-29 on the season. Watch out, folks, making a push. DePaul, like you said, they only scored 56. Arizona State, who's not good, and Jackson State. Like, that's got to be one of the worst non-conference schedules of any Big Ten team. Like, if you look around the Big Ten, Purdue played Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette, Alabama, Arizona. That's enough. We don't even need to go through any more of that. You look at Indiana, I don't think they played a very tough one, but they played Auburn and Kansas and UConn. Other than that, they didn't play anybody, but that's pretty good. Illinois played FAU, Tennessee, and Marquette. FAU losing to FGCU, by the way. What the hell? Wisconsin played Arizona and Tennessee and Marquette. I mean, the theme here is that Northwestern played the most disgusting, most embarrassing schedule of any Big Ten team in the non-conference. Ohio State played Alabama and Texas A&M. They also played UCLA, who just keeps getting worse. But that wasn't a bad game to start, I guess, which, you know. Nebraska, kind of spineless as well, but they're also Nebraska. They didn't make the tournament last year, nor did they come close. So I feel like if you make the tournament and you return your best player the next year, you should try to play a tough non-conference schedule. I know it doesn't really work that way because of when the schedules are made, but Nebraska really is right there with them. They played Nebraska did not play Nebraska. Nebraska played Creighton and Kansas State. Michigan played Memphis, Oregon, Texas Tech, Florida. It's not really that tough there. Still tougher than what Northwestern played. The point is Northwestern played a insanely easy non-conference schedule overall in comparison to a lot of the conference. So shame on you, Chris Collins.
Yeah, it's It's not a good schedule at all. And to
lose to Chicago State.
Have those losses, yeah.
Chicago State is not as bad as they were when Illinois beat them 97-38.
They beat Chicago State too, aren't they?
Yes.
Just crazy.
Chicago State has come a long way since 2020-21, where they played, they went 0-9 and then forfeited the season because they didn't have enough players. But Illinois, last time they played Chicago State, they honestly took it easy on them. 97-38 is taking it easy for that Illinois team because Illinois, the game before that, scored 122 against North Carolina A&T. So, yeah, that's another thing that we forget. Illinois scored, we think it's a big deal, they scored 104 against FDU. I mean, they scored 122 against a North Carolina A&T team that year that was well within the top 300. They weren't that bad of a team. They were bad, but they, like, offensively really bad. But 122 points, there you go. Adam yeah. Miller had like 50 in that game. But anyway, Northwestern lost to Chicago State, so what the hell. excuse me, yeah. Projected lineup for Northwestern. Boo Booey, who I'm obviously always been a big fan of, never had anything bad to say about
him. Yeah, that's all you do is praise him. And
well, I was wrong.
Years at Northwestern.
I was wrong.
How long has he been at Northwestern now? This is his fifth year?
It's got to be, right?
Sixth year?
6'2", 180 senior, had 35 points last year at the State Farm Center before Terrence Shannon took the game over to beat them. I think it was a game where he was returning off, coming back off of injury. It didn't start. And had a bad first half and then dominated the second half.
I think you're right. Yeah.
There you go. Ty Berry starting at the two. He's taking a big leap, kind of taking over. I mean, him and Langborg kind of taking over the guard role where you need to have somebody beside Bowie because Audie's just gone. 6'3", 185 is Berry senior. He's having a good season, 41% from three, 20 points against Jackson State. Princeton transfer Ryan Langborg, 6'4", 195 senior, 42% from three. So those two guys can really shoot it consistently. See what if they get a good version of Boo Booey and Berry and Langberg are knocking down shots, that's going to be the best version of Northwestern that you'll see. Maybe we'll see that version since maybe they'll wake up for a game against an in-state opponent, not named Chicago State or DePaul because they played poorly against both of those teams from the state of Illinois. Brooks Barnheiser, 6'6", starting at the four, 215 junior. He has 53 free throw attempts already this season after having 67 last season. So I think Illinois has been one of the best teams in the country at not fouling. If you take away the Tennessee game, which was just bad officiating a lot of spots, Ty Rogers got a flagrant for like doing some sort of square dance with a guy. I mean, what is that? You know, is that a thing? I don't know. Square dancing. Is that it? Did I make that up?
No, that's definitely a thing.
Okay, I don't know. I'm lost. Matthew Nicholson starting at the 5'7", feet tall, 280 senior, 5 points or less in 10 of 12 games this year. So not a scorer, not a scorer. But this is a team that does not have a lot of depth. They only went 7 deep in their last game. They ranked 336th in bench minutes at 22.9%. Illinois is 133rd at 33.7%. So they're going to need their starters to show up, like especially Bowie, Berry, and Langborg. Those guys need to show up for Northwestern to beat Illinois. The metrics give Illinois a huge advantage. Illinois is 18th in both adjusted offense and defense on KenPom right now. Their offense went up 3 spots. Their defense dropped 5 spots after the last game. Northwestern 77th in offensive efficiency, 52nd in defensive efficiency. 2-point percentage, Illinois 57.3%, that's 17th in the country. Northwestern 52.8%, that's 96th. 3-point percentage, Illinois 33.4%, that's 171st. Northwestern has an advantage here, 35.9%, 72nd. Illinois is second in the country at guarding the two and 59th at guarding the three. So they need to do well in both areas, especially beyond the arc in this game. But Northwestern is top 100 in both. Illinois is top 20 in 2-point percentage, but you know, outside of the top 100, but improving. I think they've probably gone up 60 spots in 3-point percentage over the last 2 weeks. So that'll play.
It's pretty good.
This team's better at shooting threes than they were last season, as I said they would be all along. So nice try, everybody. Anyway, players to watch.
I went with Justin Harmon. Yeah, see if he can stay consistent as a scorer. Illinois is going to need some more scoring from other guys. So I want to see if he can continue to do that. For Northwestern, I went with Boo Booey. Of course, you got to keep Boo Booey under wraps. Can't let him go off. I talked about the DePaul game where they had 56 points. I think Boo Booey went 4-14 that game. So you got to keep him, you know, in that range if you're gonna take care of Northwestern. So
I'm going Marcus Damask for the Illini. I think they need him to make plays, make shots, post up, defend, everything. It would be nice to see Damask get off to a good start as the Big Ten schedule is in full force. And then Ty Berry, I think, is going to be an X factor for Northwestern in this game. I think he could be a game changer if he's making shots. He's shooting over 40% from three. I think he takes a lot of pressure off of Bowie if he is making shots. So Illinois is going to need a lot of good defense out of Harmon if he comes in this game and has to defend one of these guys. Ty Rogers is going to be huge. I have to assume Ty Rogers is probably guarding Boo Booey in this game.
Yeah, that would be my assumption.
This is where you're going to miss Shannon's defense. The ability to have Rogers and Shannon on these two guys.
Yeah.
But you know what? We don't have it. So I would assume you're probably going to see, do you throw Luke Goody on Ty Berry? I mean, he's a better defender than Damask, right?
Yeah, I think he can.
Do you think Brad would start Sincere and Ty if Sincere was playing in this game, or at least play them a lot together?
Man, I don't know. I mean, he could break his red shirt if he wanted to, but I don't think
he's not gonna.
I don't think there's
any. Do you put Guerrier on one of these guards? Not Bowie, but Berry or Langborg. Langborg's listed as a four.
I think you could. Guerrier, I think, with this starting lineup currently, is probably the second best defender.
He's probably the second most switchable as well outside of
correct. Rogers. Yeah, I mean, Coleman probably maybe a better defender all around because he can guard the bigs, but Guerrier can do that too. So, Ty Berry is a guy that you can't let him get hot. So they got to find a way to have somebody that sticks on him.
Yeah. This is going to be a big game on both ends. They got to play well on both ends. I mean, same people at Northwestern. Northwestern's not a good metrics team. They've had some ugly games, ugly losses, but still the Big Ten. You still got to show up. You still got to get it done. And you got to get revenge for only winning one against them last year out of two. It's pathetic. Predictions?
I think it's going to be a close one. I don't think Illinois is going to score like they did against FDU. I'm taking under 70 for both teams. Give me 68-67. Illinois pulls it out. I don't know. Northwestern, I know they're not great. They scare me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, they are in the Big Ten, and they are a rival and whatever. Yeah. And they do have a player that scored 35 in this building last year in a losing effort somehow, which is insane. I'm going 72-65. I think Illinois finds a way to get it done. And I think you're going to see some more threes fall for guys that didn't have them fall last game, a.k.a. Luke Goody. I'm going to make a prediction, say Marcus Damask makes two or more threes in this game. Really going out on a limb there.
Does DGL make one? Can we have a $5 bet on that?
Nope.
Dang it.
I never made my $5 from that, but that's all right. If we look back at that win over Northwestern last year, Illinois outscored them. Illinois had 19 points in the first half. They outscored them 47-25 in the second half. They won by four. They outscored them 24-8 in the final 10 minutes. Boo Booey had 35. Barnheiser had 11. Audige had 7 points on 3 of 14 shooting. Thank you, Terrence Shannon, for that. Ty Berry had 2 points on 1 of 8 shooting. And you look at Illinois' side, obviously, Shannon had 26. Meyer had 14, but had 6 turnovers. So that was a classic Meyer performance in terms of struggling, making 2 shots, but having 8 free throw makes. We'll see. A lot of different personnel in this game. You look at Illinois' lineup in that game last year. It was Jaden Epps, gone. Matthew Meyer, gone. RJ Melendez, gone. Coleman Hawkins, still here. Went 0 for 5 from 3 in that game. And Dane Danger only played 15 minutes. He might only play 15 minutes in this game. Probably less, though. I don't think he does play 15 in this game. I would almost say there's no way he plays 15 minutes in this game.
Yeah, it's fair.
Luke Goody played 7 minutes in this game, went 0 for 2 from 3 last year.
Can Illinois stop getting 8 o'clock games?
No. I think the Purdue game's 7:30, isn't it?
Ooh, Wow.
Big up there. Ty Rogers in this game last year was 3 of 5 from the field, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist in 29 minutes off the bench. So we'll see. I got Illinois winning. You got Illinois winning. So
yeah,
2-0 start in the Big Ten is a lot better than 0-3 like last year. This game, by the way, was during the week of the start of the disaster in Big Ten play, because you had getting embarrassed by Northwestern in Evanston, Sky Clark leaving. Well, that was before, I guess. So it wasn't really the beginning, but it was in the midst of the Big Ten disaster.
I mean, didn't we have like a guy go off on us like 4 games in a row or something? Like Pickett, Bowie. Some guy from Maryland who went off.
So December last year, December 2nd, they lost to Maryland by 5. Jameer Young had 24 on 9 of 20 shooting. And then they lost, they beat Texas, but this is just Big Ten play. Penn State, Illinois lost by 15. Pickett had 20. Funk had 20. Lundy had 16. Dredd had 15. And then obviously they remember that game against Alabama A&M on December 17th last year, where Alabama A&M started the second half on an 18-6 run, and Illinois ended up beating them by 21 anyway, but that was still a bad performance. Thank you, Matthew Meyer, for that one. Had 21 points, made 9 shots. But there was a player from their team that had 13 points. And then obviously Missouri, Kobe Brown had like a billion points. And then Northwestern, the first game against Northwestern, which was a loss, Audigia had 21, Bowie had 15. Classic Bowie game, though. He made 2 shots at 15 points.
Yeah, he went to the line a ton that game.
Yeah, if you remember, I mean, Northwestern, 40-10 free throw edge in that game. That's so
crazy.
Good win by them. Illinois had 29 fouls. Shannon Meyer and Epps all fouled out in that game. And then Sky Clark left after that game because he's a bitch. Anyway. Moving along, shout out Sky Clark, having a good year at Louisville. I hope he's happy. Around the Big Ten, I'm serious, but you know, whatever. Around the Big Ten, interesting stuff last week with Michigan. I guess this week it is Sunday. Michigan losing
to McNeese. Sunday's the start of the week. I don't think you know how it works.
I really don't care.
I'm just letting you know.
I don't think of it that way at all. But if you want to be technical or whatever, go ahead. Michigan lost to McNeese State. Let's just say this. McNeese is not that bad of a basketball team. Will Wade is their head coach. They're top 80 on KenPom. Like, they're 77th right now. Yeah. They are a really good offensive team. They're 45th. They don't turn the ball over. They're 6th in the country in three-point percentage. It's not that bad, but Michigan completely sleepwalked through that game.
Yeah.
Lost by 11. Shahada Wells had 30 points. And 30 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. That's an unbelievable stat line on the road in Ann Arbor.
Jeff wants to know if you think it's Juwan's last season at Michigan.
I'd kind of be surprised if it wasn't, right? I mean, it just seems like everything is all they're 6-7 now. Like, they don't defend very well. You look at the point totals they've given up this year. 74 to UNC Asheville, 62 to Youngstown State, which is good, 73 to St. John's, 94 to Long Beach State, 71 to Memphis, which is fine, 78 to Stanford, 73 to Texas Tech, 86 to Oregon in overtime, 78 to Indiana in a loss, 80 to Iowa, 66 to Eastern Michigan. They gave up 106 to Florida, but that was double overtime, and then 87 against McNeese. Like, they give up a lot of points. There's a good chance, though, that they go into Ohio State, their game against Ohio State on January 15th at 4-1 in the Big Ten, because they play Minnesota, Penn State, Maryland to start. So, I mean, at Maryland's not an easy game, so that's a kind of a toss-up, but Minnesota and Penn State should be wins. But Illinois could be playing if they somehow win their next four, a 10-7 Michigan team, but I don't think they're going to win their next four, but a bad loss, but McNeese is better than people probably think.
Yeah,
I would say. Like, it's when you're a mid-major team that has some talent and you shoot 41% from three as a team, you could probably beat almost anybody. So, but it doesn't help Michigan's case that they completely sleepwalked through that game. Either way, Michigan 6-7, and then Michigan State beat a very good Indiana State team in the Bird Magic rematch 50 years later. Indiana State 55th on KenPom. Michigan State took care of them, beat them by 12. A good win there for Michigan State to go into Big Ten play. They're 0-2 in the Big Ten already, but 8-5 in the season now. Tyson Walker had 22, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. But a good Indiana State team, so that's a good win. Indiana State is 11-2. They 41.3% from three. They're fourth in the country, sixth in two-point percent, 60.5. This is a very, very efficient offense. A high up-tempo team. Only two losses this season are to Alabama and Michigan State, but they give up a lot of points. So they give up 102 to Alabama. But watch out for Indiana State in the Missouri Valley Conference with their coach's last name is Shirts.
Shirts.
Spelled differently, but, you know. Let's look at the Big Ten schedule. Big week as it all begins Tuesday night in College Park on Peacock. Purdue and Maryland going head-to-head, followed by, or I guess the same time, Iowa, Wisconsin from Madison. Check it out, the Badger Sports Network on the radio, the Hawkeye Radio Network, Big Ten Network as well. This is the lead-in to Illinois and Northwestern, which is that night. And then you go Wednesday, Rutgers, Ohio State, followed by Indiana, Nebraska. Go from Columbus to Lincoln, Big Ten Network doubleheader. We got a Peacock doubleheader Thursday night. Penn State, Michigan State, blowout. Minnesota, Michigan, blowout. A couple Peacock blowouts on Thursday night. Friday night, standalone, the only Big Ten game. It's on FS1, 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern from West Lafayette, Indiana. A terrible town, by the way. Good golf courses, but overall,
you enjoyed your time there.
Yeah, I did, but it's very meh overall. But it's in Indiana, so like, what do you expect? It's fine. Illinois Purdue Friday night. I don't know if we're doing a watch party this week. I guess we'll figure it out. Maybe not. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. I like to see people stop us either way. Saturday. The action continues Saturday.
Wasn't the thing that we were going to do a watch party for every game moving forward?
Didn't every game that we can. Like, if we can, then we do it.
All right.
But I don't know if I want to do either of these games, to be honest.
what a backtrack that is. It went from we're going to do every one to I don't know if I want to do these.
A record of watch parties this year. Let's see. 1, 2, 3.
I haven't lost.
4, 5, 6, no, or 7-0. No, we haven't lost. We didn't do Tennessee or Marquette.
No.
7-0. We've done every game except Marquette, Tennessee, Southern, Western, Colgate. So we've done 7 of 12, and they're 7-0. I don't know if I want to ruin that.
so I'll throw this out there. Northwestern, not Purdue.
We'll see.
When's Purdue? Saturday?
Friday night.
Oh, I thought.
I'm so sick of these Friday night games. Every Friday night,
8 o'clock,
7:30.
You said. Relax. All right.
Three games on Saturday in the Big Ten: Rutgers and Iowa, 11 a.m. on Big Ten Network, followed by Nebraska, Wisconsin on Big Ten Network, and then Fox prime time Saturday night: Ohio State, Indiana. Yikes! And then Sunday, Big Ten Network has three games. Maryland, Minnesota, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Michigan, Penn State. So I think the Penn State, Michigan game is in Philadelphia. So a bit of a neutral in some ways. I guess a semi-away is what they call it for Michigan. So, and then there's no games on that Monday. But I will say this. I did text you this last night. I think Ohio State has the most could go for 25 players on their team.
Yeah, I haven't watched Ohio State play this year. So
I don't think they're that great, but I think that there are games where anybody could go off. Roddy Gale had 32 last night against West Virginia. Bruce Thornton has had games where he's gone off the tree at 29 against Alabama. Jamison Battle, we know how good he can be. He had a 25-point game against his former team, Minnesota.
I keep forgetting that he went to Ohio State.
There you go. And then they also have Scotty Middleton, who's a stud freshman that hasn't been great recently, but got off to a good start in the season. That's a guy that could score. Ohio State, team to watch, I got to say. I mean, I don't think they're that great. Like I said, I mean, they struggled with UCLA, but won by 7. They went to overtime against a pretty bad West Virginia team, but they beat Alabama by 11. So who knows? I don't really know what to make of them, but they are better than they were last year. They're 11-2. So 20 seconds, folks, 20 seconds.
Steve says, what a difference a week makes now. No watch parties. Yeah, that's Ethan. Jeff says that he saw CBS has Illinois fifth in their poll. Do you think Illinois moves up or down with the absence of Terrence Shannon Jr.?
I don't think it's fair to move them down, right? I don't know. Let me just say this right now. We are doing the Purdue game Friday night. Boom. Mark it on the schedule. We're doing it. If you want to see us yell about Zach Edey for 3 hours or whatever, go ahead.
Come on. Come on by. Let's see if he can.
Also, what the hell does Illinois really have to lose in that game unless they lose by 50?
That's true.
Not going to have Shannon on the road. Zach Edey's a cheater. I mean, it's the whole bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to yell, lock him up. People are going to think that you're actually serious about it, and we'll move
That's
forward.
A crazy assumption, but okay.
I think you did that last year. But what do you think about Arizona down 9 against Stanford at halftime?
Is that happening right now? Jesus. I don't know what the hell is going on with Arizona. They'll figure it out.
All right. As always, we'd like to thank Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon at 700 East Broadway Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois. You can find them online at www.alamo-steakhouse.com. They are doing a New Year's Eve special, which is an 8-ounce filet, a 6-ounce lobster tail, and your choice of two sides for $46. So stop by there tonight. I assume they're open. I don't know what the January specials are. They haven't posted them yet, but we'll let you know on the next one. As always, they do have happy hour from 4 to 6 every weekday. So stop by there. If you'd like to be a sponsor for our episodes or our watch parties that we aren't doing anymore, apparently, reach out to us on Twitter, or you can email us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. As always, thanks for stopping by. Like, subscribe, share, comment, leave a review for us so we can get DeMonte's, you know, low ball out of there. And on to Tuesday.
Yep. Hold on.
Yep. You won't be the ones yelling. You won't be the only ones yelling. Jeff's going to be yelling with us. I got to let my dog out, so whatever you want to do.
Yeah. We'll do Friday night. I mean, we pretty much do Friday night games every time at this point. I feel like we've done 100 of them, so might as well keep it going. With that, I guess that'll be a good game to do because, you know, facing a top five team in the country. And, I think looking at it right now, we'll do the Purdue game, lock that in. Tuesday, probably a skip. I mean, it's January 2nd. You know, I mean, come on. Does anybody really want to watch that anyway? I mean, give me a break. Then you probably can't do the Michigan State game because it's on a Thursday. So then we'll do the Maryland game for sure. Sunday, there's another Thursday game. It's Michigan. Then there's a Sunday Rutgers. I mean, every game's on the same goddamn day. in the month of January, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 possible watch parties, I would say, at least, because we have Purdue Friday night, January 5th, Maryland on a Sunday, Rutgers on a Sunday. We could do Northwestern on the road on a Wednesday if people really want us to. Indiana on a Saturday. Ohio State on a Tuesday. So that's 5. If you got Northwestern, that'd be 6. So either way, we're going to surpass our number all time because we're already at 7. So, and I bet our most.
We've done 12, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, if people can go back and look, or you could go back and look, or I could go back and look, but I don't know what our actual number is. But either way, you know. We don't have to do every game. I feel like doing every game would just be something that wouldn't be possible. And why would anybody want that? Really?
Definitely not possible, but we'll continue to do as many as we can.
Do you want to do Tuesday? I don't really want to do Tuesday, but I would if people really want it.
It doesn't matter to me, honestly. I'll do whatever. I don't have any plans, but we're going to have to mix it up on defense against Purdue. What do you mean? Coleman Hawken dominated Edie last year. You never know on Friday. It's why they play the games. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I think Illinois has been pretty good at not fouling a lot this year. I think that's probably going to change when they play Purdue.
Yeah.
Be a lot of fouls. Purdue shoots so many free throws that they're 165th in percentage because they shoot so many.
That's insane.
That it just doesn't work. You know, I mean, you look, they had 14, 26, 19 against Arizona, 28 against Alabama. You know, list goes on and on. No, it's not that crazy. I mean, they did have 41 against Northwestern and lost. So do what you will with that information, I suppose. Yeah. All right. Do you want to know the two top comparisons on KenPom for Zach Edey in the last two seasons are Kofi Coburn in 2020 and Kofi Coburn in 2021?
It's interesting.
Along this year, along with Isaac Haas in 2017, Tyler Zeller in 2012, Kenny Freeze in 2012. I don't know who the hell that is. Anyway, yeah. So Edey is like Kofi, except bigger, and it's probably easier for him to, I don't know, whatever. He's good, whatever.
And Brazzo says Ohio State is one of his two losses we get this year. Two.
Well, they got to play Ohio State in Columbus.
What do you think Illinois ends up now? What would you take at this point? Do you remember what our predictions were before the season started?
Nope.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Let's see if I can find it. I think it was like 76 or something. I can't be right. Anyways, what do you think it's going to be? I'll find it when you do that. Put your numbers together. My guess, 13-7. I'm going with.
That's insane.
Why?
I'll count games I think they're going to win. I think they beat Northwestern, so that's one. I think they beat Michigan State at home, that's two. I think they beat Maryland at home, that's three. I think they beat Rutgers at home, that's four. I think they go on the road and beat Michigan, that's five. I think they beat Indiana at home, that's six. I think they beat Nebraska at home, that's seven. Beat Michigan at home, eight. Beat Penn State on the road, nine. Beat Iowa and Minnesota at home, that's 11. Beat Iowa on the road, I'll say that doesn't happen. And I think they can beat Wisconsin and Madison, even though that's probably an insane thing to say. They could 11-9 could certainly – 11-9, I would absolutely – like if they go 11-9 or 10-10 – that's a huge win.
Is that where you're going with 11?
I'll go 11-9, but it would require beating Wisconsin and Madison pretty much.
Okay. We were 13-7, both of us.
So two or three less wins with Shannon.
I'm saying they're going to win the same amount.
Well, part of what
factors – I mean, they already beat Rutgers, which I had them losing that one. So
you also have to factor in, I think the Big Ten has a few worse teams than we expected.
Steve says 16-4. That's crazy, but
to go 16-4, you're gonna have to not like your road games are Purdue, Michigan, Northwestern, Ohio State, Michigan State, Maryland, Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa.
That means that there's a good chance they win the Big Ten. And if Brad wins the Big Ten without his All American,
people will not be able to speak anymore.
Coach of the year.
People already had him coach of the year before this, and I think it won't change if they keep playing well and winning games without Shannon. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I think this team is still – Brad talks about it all the time, how connected they are. Yeah. I think that'll play a factor in some of
these clubs. And defiance travels, as Steve says. So.
I'm going to look that word up. Defiance. Got it. Okay. Yeah. I figured I knew what it meant, just to make sure.
Yeah.
They have some tough road games. I'll just say that. I mean, Purdue, Michigan, Northwestern, Ohio State, Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa. That's a lot of tough road games.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Be nice. Be good.
Love it. Got to play it on the court. Figure it out. Here we go.
This team has a lot of number twos and number threes right now. I'll say that.
No number ones?
Not right now, no. Their closest thing to a number one might be like Quincy Guerrier, who can't even create his own shot.
That's, yeah. Jeffrey says, if you look at the team now, we're down a guy who drives and could hit the three, but with guys moving around, I think we make up the threes and Dane gets more play inside.
Nope.
Imrod says, if 16 and 4 is crazy, I guess my 18 and 2 is really bad. If they go 18 and 2, I mean, without an All American, that's,
it's going to be really tough when they go 8 and 12, guys.
let's hope for 500.
Jeffrey, Dane didn't even get 20 minutes in this game. Like, we can't sit here and think that we need to rely on Dane Danger. It's just not. And what you're losing in Shannon on the court is literally everything. Like, he did absolutely everything.
Yeah.
This season. So we can't minimize that at all. It's a huge, huge loss on the basketball court. And there was a lot to be said from Brad Underwood about his leadership with the team this year.
Yeah, that might be where it hurts the most, is now that guy can't be at practices. He can't even be around the team. So I mean, it's different than, you know, he tore his ACL and he can still be at practices and still, you know, be a leader. They don't even have that now. So
the good thing that they do have, though, is they have a very old Quincy Guerrier. Yeah. They have an experienced Coleman Hawkins, an experienced Marcus Damask. This is an old team, which I think helps a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's next man up, but here's the problem with your thoughts on Dane Danger is this doesn't affect Dane Danger's role on the team that much at all, I don't think. You lost a guard. You didn't lose Hawkins, or you didn't lose Hansberry. Like, Dane's going to be a guy that probably plays 8 to 15 minutes a game, and hopefully he can put up better numbers against better opponents, which he hasn't done yet. What's Dane's best game against a good opponent? Like, I don't even know. This season, it's the fact that here's the funny thing about Dane, and people talk about, we need Dane. Dane Danger has 6 points in the games against Marquette, FAU, and Tennessee. Now, to be fair, he did play well against FAU, only 11 minutes, but he's only played 19 minutes against their best three opponents. So what does that say about how they think of Dane? You know, I don't know. We'll see. I find it interesting that people expect Dane to all of a sudden be a double-double guy against good opponents. I mean, I don't, but I hope so. I don't know. What do you want me to say? I don't like his game. I don't like a guy who takes a left-handed runner for no reason. Like, you're not left-handed, or are you? I'm so confused.
Yeah, but he made it.
He makes it every time. I just don't get why. Like, can he explain why he does that?
I don't know. Maybe he just starts shooting his free throws left-handed, though.
Do you think he throws left-handed? Like in football?
I don't know. How does he shoot right-handed, though?
He doesn't really shoot.
I mean, he shoots free throws right-handed. He might need to switch that up.
He's so talented, and I wish he was better. Like, he has a lot of skill.
That is the biggest oxymoron ever. He's so talented, but I wish he was better.
I wish he performed better and put up better numbers. Like, he's got a lot of talent. Obviously, he can finish with both hands, and, there you go.
Yep.
There's something wrong with you. All right. That's going to do it for us. We gave people almost an hour 15.
Yeah. Ethan's got a birthday party to get to. Everybody wish Ethan happy birthday once again.
Party is a strong word.
Woo. You only turn 24 once, man.
Yep. I guess that's true, huh? All right.
It is.
We will be back after the Northwestern game. If we decide to do a watch party last minute, we'll let you know.
Yeah,
either way, we're doing Purdue on Friday, and we're doing an episode before that. And I want to try to get Brian Benz on before that Purdue game, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to do that.
Well, I was messed. I think he's going to the Rose Bowl tomorrow or something. So after that, we'll try to get him on. But we will see everybody next time, and we'll hit us up on Twitter. I don't know. We can see Twitter comments now. So if you go on the Twitter live stream, you can comment. And the guy who was commenting earlier, okay. All right, we'll see everybody next time.
He's been all over Twitter, that guy.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Later.